Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to, what did you call it?
Matt Chat. Matt Chat. It's not called Matt Chat.
We can't call it Matt Chat, really?
It's not a very good name.
What a bummer. I like Matt Chat.
We'll say the show formerly known as Dirt Sheet.
Yeah.
Which may still have Dirt Sheet branding on it. I'm not sure.
Dirt Sheet is now technically on Monday, so I got to change the live show assets to Dirt Sheet assets.
Well, yeah, just replace them with Dirt Sheet and maybe stick live on it.
Look, here's the bottom line. We're going to talk about wrestling for an hour. There you go.
Not just talk. We're going to debate.
Yeah, so we're going to debate stuff. So given that we're doing, we sort of mentioned this before, given that we're doing the Going In Raw daily stuff.
News shows.
Yeah, there's not really a reason to do like another news show, a longer one, here on Fridays on the, you know, this. That all the daily news, if you're listening to this in the audio format, we are compiling all the daily news shorts and uploading them in the audio realm as a full news-heavy podcast.
Yes.
So they're all just stitched together. So you still get that on Fridays,
yeah, but,
if you just listen to the in the audio realm.
But the news shorts are slim on conversation. It's mostly here's the news. We'll make a couple jokes, maybe do a little bit of analysis.
Yeah.
But by and large, it's just reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Here on whatever the show is going to be named, mm-hmm. we're going to editorialize a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give our point of view and debate said point of view.
Correct.
Until the other person realizes that the one making the point is correct.
Right. And we're doing this powered by our $20 and up patrons.
Correct.
At patreon.com/Steven Larson. At the $20 mark, traditionally, is when you get to have a video posted to our show. Usually it's in the form, or traditionally it has been in the form of a video question. Now we're asking those patrons to submit their questions. Sort of, you know, this is a debate topic that Steven Larson can take sides on.
Yes.
And then debate. Yeah, so how are we going to kick things off?
Well, to start with the first topic from Alexander Corrente. Let's see what Alexander has to say.
Okay.
Man, having NXTs before major four pay-per-views is not doing good. NXT kind of sets that bar really high, and then SummerSlam comes along, and while there was some really good stuff, it's kind of hard to, you know, compare Gargano and Andrade to Cena and Corbin, or Aleister Black and Itami to Orton and Rusev. Whew. So my question is, guys, why is NXT that much more entertaining than the main roster right now? How can I get so excited for NXT and then feel honestly going through SummerSlam, which is the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, bored with certain matches? Is it because NXT is kind of the underdog on the company? Is it because NXT feels more organic than the overly produced Raw and SmackDown shows? Maybe I'm being negative. I really enjoyed SummerSlam, though, but man, there was a few sections in there that just really turned me off. And I'm talking with my buddies that watch wrestling with me. They honestly feel the same way. So I just wanted to get your opinion. Why is NXT so much better than Raw and SmackDown? Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexander.
All right. So very interesting topic. Every time there is a pay-per-view, a big four pay-per-view, of course, it comes along with a takeover the night preceding it.
Yes, the WWE's business plan going forward seems to make the weekends of their major four pay-per-views weekend-long events.
Right,
kicking
exactly.
off with takeover, and then you have the pay-per-view, and then you have Raw and SmackDown all in the same city, mm-hmm. generally all in the same venue.
And every single time, we get the same sort of Twitter feedback, and you know the fans will say, you know, what's going to be better, the main roster pay-per-view or the takeover? What's going to be better? What's
generally going to be better? I mean, it's a takeover.
Yeah. generally it is a takeover. However, we always say, you know, it's kind of apples and oranges. They're their own thing.
Yes.
However, this is a debate show, and that answer isn't fun for debate.
No diplomacy here.
Exactly. So we're each going to take a side. We're each going to take a horse in this particular race.
Yes, Steve, would you like to begin?
Yes, NXT is better. Do you like actual wrestling? Then you're going to want to watch NXT. Do you like characters that are written well and booked well? Then you want to do NXT. Do you not want to sit there for 7 hours baking in the Florida humidity and then have a bunch of strobe lights shot at your head? Instead, would you rather want to watch a good, briskly paced 2.5 hour action-packed event, NXT TakeOver? All the best matches within the WWE have taken place within the TakeOvers. We had Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate at Orlando. We had this TakeOver that just happened had any number of great matches. Asuka versus Ember Moon, Gargano versus Almas. So every single TakeOver, there seems to be another quality card. Even when you think, wow, this card didn't look great on paper, it always ends up being fantastic. And then what's the common complaint or the common scare for many of these NXT stars? Oh man, once they get up to creative, how are they going to mess them up? Point to Ty Dillinger. Like, I haven't seen Ty Dillinger in forever. So there you go. NXT's better, more enjoyable.
Is that all you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then do I get a chance to counter you?
Well, let's have a conversation about it until we feel satisfied.
Well, you just let me ramble for a while. So yeah, I feel like it's point counterpoint.
Yeah, that's what how debates happen. You lay out your argument.
There's no conversations in debate.
I lay out my argument, and then we converse about it back and forth.
Oh, is that how debates work?
Yeah, I think so. I've never in debate club. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, all valid points about NXT. They put on good shows with their takeovers. However, there are some things that you will not see in NXT ever. And I think that's what really separates it. You won't see spectacles the likes of WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble at NXT. Granted, takeovers, excellent production value. Nonetheless, WWE kicks it up a notch for the main roster shows. But here's another thing you won't see. You won't see superstars like Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, people who can do these superhuman feats of strength. You don't get that in NXT. You don't. You don't.
I'm not saying that you do. I'm not. Are you? I'm letting you just talk.
Going back to your argument about the best matches always happen on takeovers.
It's true.
It's not true. Here's some matches that happen on WWE television or a WWE pay-per-view that are comparable, if not better, than any NXT matches that have happened this year. I'll start with Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman. They had a great last man standing match, very first Raw of the year. Great match. John Cena versus AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble.
I thought you were going to go to Okada Suzuki.
All that too.
Okay.
Great match. The triple threat match of the Raw we went to on May 1st. Finn versus Miz versus Seth. Great match. The Universal title match at SummerSlam, could be argued, was the most fun match of the entire weekend. So
case could be made for the entire year on that one.
Yeah. If you want pro wrestling, yes, NXT, probably the way to go. If you want sports entertainment with the spectacle, with the soap opera drama, then you have to watch the main roster shows. Also, here's another thing to consider. The main roster includes 205 Live, arguably the best written show in all of WWE right now. So, in a sense, yes, it is apples and oranges because NXT is more focused on wrestling in the old school sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas WWE main roster, they're trying to do this sports entertainment thing.
Yeah.
But you know what, Steve? It's okay to enjoy both.
Yeah, no.
There's room for it all.
That's the real answer, is that it's okay to enjoy both. Here's the thing. One thing also to consider is that 5 years from now, I'm assuming around 5 years from now, the main roster, creatively speaking, Raw and SmackDown are going to look a lot more like NXT anyways. Because Triple H is going to be fully in charge.
Another thing I should mention about main roster is that the depth of talent on the main roster is unparalleled, probably in any promotion in the entire world. The closest rival will be New Japan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But the depth of talent on the main roster is incredible.
Yeah.
NXT has generally always been, and probably for the most part always will be, fairly top-heavy.
Yeah.
Because it's still a developmental territory. Mm-hmm. And while there's entertainment to be derived from seeing people develop a lot, when there's periods where there haven't necessarily been those huge stars carrying NXT, it's a bit harder to invest into the actual product.
The
unless you're just really into the NXT brand.
Not to argue your point, but I mean, you know, if you step away from taking sides of this, you know, the one question that is will never leave NXT is, when are they going to go to Maine?
Exactly.
When are they going to get called up? When are they going to get called up? Are they going to go to Maine soon? And so there is always that excitement over, ooh, they're going to go to Maine, even though, you know, there have been instances where, you know, WWE superstars have their best days in NXT. And so you're almost hoping, it's like you're, oh, wow, when are they going to go and get buried? You know, when are they going to go and get, you know, no TV time? So it is kind of interesting. But the bottom line is, you want to see your favorite guys on the biggest stage.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
That's why people go to WWE.
Exactly. So it's not necessarily that it's apples and oranges. It kind of is, but it's also, you're watching the entire process.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
like being a fan of a baseball player from being drafted, falling through the minor leagues, seeing him reach the majors. Not to say that NXT is the minors for WWE, because it isn't really. It is developmental.
No, it is. To an extent, it is.
Portion of the roster, it is. But Bobby Roode wasn't in NXT to develop. He was there to carry the company until someone else could come in and take that spot.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you can't make the direct parallel between, you know, AAA ball or whatever you want to call it. But no, Bobby Roode was there to develop his character, his brand within the universe. So that aspect of things absolutely is true. Nobody goes to a River Cats game and thinks to themselves, wow, this is a team that I can get behind in the long term.
No,
in terms of,
the turnover on that team is going to be exceptionally off
people
the charts.
Are sent there after rehab to go, you know, it's so in that same respect, you know, NXT, what your long-term plan is, you know, well, one of these guys going to go up to main roster.
Yeah.
So it is, it in that respect, it is apples and oranges, but it's also part of the larger story of the WWE universe, and why it that's why it should be enjoyed as a whole unit. Doesn't have to be one or the other. And hey, if all you like is NXT, then just watch the takeovers. You know?
You don't have to watch the main roster stuff.
Exactly.
No one's forcing you to.
Yeah.
Cancel your cable subscription.
I mean, they're never going to be sending the NXT guys to like ESPN to promote NXT takeover.
Probably not.
If there's a WrestleMania happening.
Yeah, not going to happen.
You know? So there you go.
Not going to happen.
All right, next debate is going to be the topic is brought to us from our friendo Stevie Bradley. Let's take a look at that video.
Hey, friendo, Stevie B here. Got a quick question for you. I know that WWE wanted to branch out into the European/UK market with the UK title. Haven't been doing much of anything. Wasn't even defending on the last NXT. I'm wondering, what's going to happen with that UK belt? Beautiful, gorgeous belt, but if it's never defended, out of sight, out of mind. I'd love to hear what you guys think of what this title's going to be. Could it be absorbed into another title? Could it be one that is, I don't even know, change it to a TV title, NXT? I don't know, because I love the UK matches, that strong style, but they're not really showing us anything here in the States. So wondering what you guys think about that. Thanks, guys. Take care. And happy birthday, Larson. And happy soon-to-be birthday, Steve. Take care.
Thank you, Stevie.
Thank you, Stevie.
So he asked, what is going to happen with the United Kingdom title?
Mm-hmm. Not a lot these days.
I think, no, not a lot these days. It's been about 7 months since the UK tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard rumblings and rumors that there is going to be a dedicated United Kingdom show, if not a subsidiary of WWE. Hasn't materialized yet. We've also heard that they're going to run matches in,
Progress and Rev Pro.
Yeah. An ICW.
Yeah.
And that they might be airing that stuff on the network.
Yeah.
None of it's happened.
Yeah.
As we saw NXT this past week, the competitors in that match, Pete Dunne, Wolfgang, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, all top of the card guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell they're all kind of disappointed in how things have kind of panned out.
I mean, we can't say that for sure, but
there is a sense.
We've been in this world for a combined around 80 years, and you can kind of read humans after that amount of time.
Yes. So they need to do something.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yes.
So what they should do is bring the four of them. Danny Burch is already in NXT. Mark Andrews, all the competitors they want to bring over from the United Kingdom, bring them over, have them in NXT, defend the title in NXT. They've done it a few times. Make it a regular thing. Have those guys on TV, whether it's short term or long term. It needs to be done to keep those guys on television, keep them in front of fans, have them build their brands up. So when you do eventually, or sorry, if you do eventually do a dedicated United Kingdom show, fan base built in already. You need to expand the roster a lot before you're going to do that, though, for the UK show. I almost feel like when you have talents of the caliber of Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, I just don't want them on a United Kingdom show. I want them to have an opportunity to go up to the main roster. And that's kind of my worry about a dedicated UK show, is that they're just going to say, okay, these are our United Kingdom wrestlers. We need them on that show to pop ratings, to keep the ratings up, to keep interest alive. So we're just going to keep them there. Based on the pop Pete Dunne got in a meaningless tag match on NXT this week, he belongs on the main roster now. He's 24 years old. He belongs up there now. He could be a massive star, a massive heel, a guy you could build the company around. And to just say, first of all, not use him at all, not use him effectively, is a waste of talent. And then just to say, well, we'll eventually do a UK show, and then they'll be on there. If that's not a springboard to larger things, then it's kind of a waste of talent. It really is. So put them on NXT, give them a chance to develop their brand, and if they get popular enough or they get polished enough, and the main roster has a use for them, bring them up. That seems the most logical thing to do at this point.
Yeah, you're completely wrong. And I think you believe what you're saying, too.
I believe 100% of it.
Yeah, we completely disagree on this. I don't want those guys anywhere near NXT. It always bugs the crap out of me when they're on NXT. I love their wrestling. I think they're fantastic. They need their own dedicated United Kingdom show. I don't want to see them on Progress. I don't want to see them on ICW. I want WWE to have one damn taping a month, or even one taping every 6 weeks. Send Regal out there to supervise it. They had, how many people were in that UK tournament? 32, 24, or something like that?
At least 16.
A lot of, 16? Okay, fine.
At least 16, I remember.
A lot
exactly.
of guys. Perfect number for a roster. Have your own show. NXT is already filled to the rim. You cannot add an entire other division with its own title on NXT. It's already too much. You have to have them on their own program. NXT has its own championship and women's championship. 205 Live has its own championship. The main roster obviously has their own championships. They need their own show with their own championship. And yes, that show can be used to establish their own brands. Absolutely. And then they can go up to the main roster from there. The kind of way that we want to see the cruiserweights go from 205 Live, be able to establish their brands there. And the guys who are bigger, where it makes sense, Cedric Alexander, Neville, go up to the main roster. We haven't seen that yet. We've seen the other way. We've seen Enzo come back down, but that's for different reasons. That's something that you and I both want to see. With a UK show, it gives us, it lets that division, it lets those great competitors all breathe. You said that they don't have enough people. If you look at the tournament itself, they absolutely do. And all those guys were signed to smaller deals for the tournament. And just sign those guys to bigger deals, and they'll be on the UK show. That belt looks amazing. There's lots of amazing female talent out there in the UK as well. You can bring them in, Tony Storm, others that I can't remember right now, top of my head. And you have yourself an amazing new show, cheap to produce if you just do it locally. And on top of that, WWE loves to drive out competition. You'll be killing off a bunch of competition over there as well.
See, if the idea was to use this UK show as a springboard to potential main roster success, I would be more on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, we've seen nor heard any indication that's the plan for 205 Live, if that's the template we're working under. I think Triple H might have alluded to some idea of any subsidiary they form, potentially working in that respect, having wrestlers go to, for example, the WWE's UK territory, develop their brand, and maybe having a path to the main roster from there. But it's not a guarantee. The surest path to the main roster is through NXT.
Well, that's been established. Yes, that's been established.
That we know, and we can.
Here's the thing: 205 Live's already on main roster. It's on Raw.
I know.
They just don't commingle with other people not on very main often, roster, no. which is something that you and I both want.
Yes,
which is why the UK division should be able to do the exact same thing. I think they should have their own thing.
But until why that's in established.
NXT though? NXT has its own championship. You can't just have them. It's like they're just they get their own. That would be like. It's similar to one of our gripes about 205 Live is that they just sort of shoehorn them into Raws and people are it's not really part of Raw. It's just like a way to extend 205 Live into territory that it, you know, it's just well, the promoting 205 Live.
The difference there is that if they're on Raw to promote 205 Live, whereas if you take Pete Dunne and put him on NXT, it's not to promote some other show, it's to give Pete Dunne a chance to wrestle.
I know,
in front of a WWE audience.
Okay, but here's the thing. There's a difference there. What would be the purpose of the UK championship then? Like what you're suggesting, they just have to get rid of the UK championship.
No, that could be a mid-card belt in NXT.
But it's the UK championship. So? It belongs to the United Kingdom. A mid-card title in NXT should be the NXT, I don't know, mid-card belt, whatever they want to call it. I mean, NXT is for like Smarks anyway, so it'd be, I don't know, the network belt, or they just call it the mid-card belt. That's what they should do. It's called the mid-card belt. But they have that beautiful-looking title.
Yeah, I know.
They have a wealth of talent over there in the UK.
That's another thing.
I'm all for Pete Dunne going to NXT if it means he's going to go to main roster. I'm just saying you have all that UK talent. We've been promised a UK show of some sort.
I know. Maybe I've worried that one of the problems with getting together this UK show is that they've had a hard time establishing a consistent roster that's large enough to put on a show on a regular basis.
No, that's not the case.
How do you know that?
You know what the case is because we've been around.
I know what it is. I know it's Vince being fickle, but maybe that's one of the concerns is that
it's not. They have a million people. The UK scene has exploded.
There's potential talent available. How many of them actually want to sign up for any sort of
every single one of them?
I don't know about every single one.
Every single I don't know,
not
one
every
of
single
them.
One. How many people in the indie scene right now are thriving and they're saying, I'm good without WWE for right now.
If the WWE established a show in the UK, those talents would not be exclusive. They would not be exclusive the way that 205
But when, every date you work for WWE could preclude you. WWE could be lowballing people. They could not be paying them what they're worth.
They probably are.
Yeah. So if he had a choice between the potential exposure of being on a WWE product for less money versus working an indie date.
Well, hold on. Let's say I would say this. They'd be lowballing them in terms of, hey, you're on weekly programming. This is what you're making per year. They probably lowballing them in terms of per year. But per date that they're actually working, I would have a hard time believing they'd be making more money, with the exception of WCPW, who we've heard pays a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But the other indie dates out there in the UK or even like Europe, I really doubt that the WWE would be lowballing them in terms of the actual dates.
Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea.
No idea.
I don't know. I just suspect that if you show up to an indie show and they're like, you know, we'll give you 50 pounds, WWE's probably going to give you 200 pounds.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever it is.
I'm saying top of the card UK indie talent.
Well, like Pete Dunne. They just signed good deals. I think they just
deals.
Yeah.
Four or five of them did.
Yeah.
Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
They have.
Yeah.
But everybody else, I don't know what kind of deals they're getting.
Again,
there's a lot of moving parts in putting together that show. And for one reason, we know Vince is fickle about whether he wants to do it or not.
Every single one of those guys over there
also
would love, because they all have supreme confidence in their abilities. And they're like, wait a second, they're going to sign me for, okay, so it's not huge money, but it's an opportunity to be in the WWE and to turn some heads. Every single one of them would be foolish not to take that. Unless it's like, you know, like it's not what you want to do. It's not what you want to do.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that would be a surefire way to at least get some eyeballs in the WWE on you.
Potentially.
A UK show. Every storyline derives from accidentally spilled pint in a pub. Sorry, mate. This fight.
More than anything, I just want something to happen. I want them to be
there. Yeah, me too. I just
to utilize
the
talent.
It bugs the crap out of me. And you and I legitimately differ on this. It bugs the living crap out of me when I just see them bring him into NXT, because it magnifies that they have no idea what they want to do. That's what bugs them.
Well, that's
the,
why
the
I say
biggest thing
at least set forth a plan, whether it's NXT, whether it's own show, and just do it.
Yeah.
Don't twiddle your thumbs anymore. Just do something.
Michael Berry has a topic for debate.
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say.
What's going on, friendos? It's your boy, Michael Berry. Haven't put in a video question for a while again, but I thought of a really good debate question to ask you guys. What is a better match stipulation? The ladder match or Hell in the Cell? Where the history, the how easy to it is to have a good match with those stipulations. I'd like to hear your guys' opinions.
Thank you, Michael Berry.
Yeah.
So he proposes two gimmick matches, ladder match and Hell in the Cell. Now we have to argue which is superior. Easy, ladder match. I'll tell you why. I mean, the whole premise of a Hell in the Cell match is you're just waiting for someone to fall off it. That's why people watch Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah.
Whereas in a ladder match, you're guaranteed to see someone jump off that ladder.
Yeah.
But in my mind, what takes ladder matches to the next level is that there's a tangible thing at the top of that ladder that everybody's going for. Title, Money in the Bank briefcase, or in that one match, was it like custody papers?
Yeah.
The Eddie Guerrero or Rey Mysterio
custody
match.
Custody papers, that's correct.
So there's a tangible item that they have to get in order to win that match. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Their opportunity is there for high spots. You're guaranteed to have high spots. And the inherent drama, I feel like, in a ladder match is better than your average Hell in a Cell match. You know, this is yeah, the Mankind Undertaker one. If you look at the history of Hell in a Cell matches, that's an outlier
mm-hmm.
in terms of the excitement of that.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 28, the Hell in a Cell match between Triple H and Undertaker, is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need to be in Hell in a Cell, but it was a great story. That's what mattered in that match. Beyond that, I can think of two or three other Hell in a Cell matches. The first one, Undertaker and HBK, that were good. By and large, though, don't remember them. There have been more memorable ladder matches, I think, than Hell in a Cell matches. And for that reason, if nothing else, ladder matches are better.
Okay, this is not easy to debate this one. Because I kind of agree with you. But, because this is a debate show and we have to take two sides.
We can't agree.
Allow me to win this debate that I don't even believe. Hell in a Cell is much better. Number one, yes, you're absolutely right. There have been far more bad Hell in a Cell matches than good Hell in a Cell matches. There has been exactly, I would say, two great Hell in a Cell matches. The WrestleMania 28 and the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
I would say those two great ones. Mankind Undertaker was more of a car crash.
Yeah.
But still, it looms large.
Yes.
In the legend of the WWE. In fact, that is one thing that you can say about Hell in a Cell over a ladder match is that when somebody mutters the phrase, this is going to be in Hell in a Cell over, let's have a ladder match. Hell in a Cell just sounds cooler. It makes people perk up. It makes people say, oh, Hell in a Cell. Wow, somebody's going to fall off a cage. Great.
But how many times have people actually fallen off the cage?
A few. You're right about WrestleMania 28. Like, that was, you know, they didn't necessarily need to be told inside there. But that's part of atmosphere. Like, yeah. The Hell in a Cell is part of atmosphere. And that, I think, took that match from being, wow, that was great, to that was a classic. It's the atmosphere behind it. We've seen good Hell in a Cell matches. We've seen unlikely good Hell in a Cell matches. I can't really remember off the top of my head, but they have been there. Hell in a Cell. It's very intimidating. I don't know. There's people always fall off them on accident.
Or in Shane McMahon's case, very much on purpose.
Let me tell you what. Hell in a Cell in 2K17 is a blast.
It is.
It's actually probably more of a blast than a regular ladder match.
Yeah, I would say that's the case. But this isn't the debate we're having. What's better in a video game, Steve?
He didn't specify. Anyways, hard to argue. It is hard to argue. Also, I'll do this as well. Ladder matches, sometimes they kind of bug me because they're a little dangerous. All the falling on your balls when the ladder comes down, and then, like, you know, people's feet getting caught in the ladder rungs sometimes. It's very scary sometimes.
It's pretty scary to be thrown off a 20-foot cage.
Yeah, but that never happens. That's only happened like 3 times. So, I don't know. That's a hard one to argue. I mean, ladder matches, I'll be honest, ladder matches are kind of cooler.
Yeah, they are cooler.
It's just, whenever you say, it's so funny, though, because whenever you say, this is going to happen, like, even if there's like, oh, did you see the latest cage side seats rumor? You freaking Ryback versus Rey Mysterio is going to be Hell in a Cell. Wow, cool.
I know, because Hell in a Cell, you think of the classic ones.
I know.
And that's your expectation. Like when it was Sasha and Charlotte in Hell in a Cell, you know, you start hearing stuff like, oh, Charlotte's going to do a moonsault off the cage.
Yeah.
I don't want to see her do that because that sounds horribly dangerous.
Yeah.
Wow. And the match they had in Hell in a Cell was good.
Yeah.
But apart from a couple spots, they didn't really utilize the cell to its fullest.
I disagree with that. I thought they actually did a pretty good job incorporating the cell, especially at the beginning.
Oh, at the beginning, yeah, totally. In that one spot where Sasha did the double knees off it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
They did a lot more to incorporate the cell than a lot of other matches did.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always that level of expectation in Hell in a Cell that someone's going to get thrown off the cage.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen.
Well, that's what we knew. Like, as soon as Shane, you know, it was like we started to realize that, oh, Shane came back for Undertaker Hell in a Cell.
To jump off the top of the cage.
Oh, he's going to come off the top of
the cage.
The
whole point that match existed was for Shane to go off the top of it.
I know. So, I don't know. I think I can... Hell in a Cell definitely has its place in WWE history as this big foreboding thing that we always, no matter how bad the matches are, time after time, it's always there as, wow, this is going to be cool.
Let me ask you something. Do they have too many Hell in a Cell matches?
Yeah, of course.
Should they have a whole pay-per-view dedicated to Hell in a Cell?
No, they should.
Agreed.
No. And here's the other case we made for Hell in a Cell, though. Most iconic moment of the Attitude Era didn't happen in a ladder match. Yeah. Happened at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I know.
So you always have that. Always. That's the best case I can make. It's Hell in a Cell. There's been a lot of crap ones. What do you want? What do you want, people?
Next, we got Patrick Sparks. Let's see what Patrick has to say.
Hey, friendos. Pat here. So, there's not a lot of news this week besides Enzo going to 205 Live and the debut of Shelton Benjamin, or re-debut, and the debut of Bobby Roode on SmackDown. But I do have a debate topic for you. If you were to be trained in an in-ring capacity by either Shawn Michaels, one of the best wrestlers ever, if not the best wrestler ever, or Ric Flair, also can hold those same attributes, who would you choose and why? And if you were to be trained charismatically to say on the mic, given mic chops, how to work a mic, who would you choose to train you, The Rock or Stone Cold? What do you guys think? Thanks, friends. Have fun debating.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
What a fun question this is.
I know. We actually have some fun.
This is a bounty that we have here. So, would you rather be trained by Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair, Larson?
HBK.
I'm glad you said that because I wanted to say Ric Flair.
Okay.
Because Ric Flair...
Oh, I have an idea. How about this? Instead of answering for ourselves, let's answer for the other person.
Wow. Okay. So I want you to train.
Who you think I should train with?
Oh, you should train with HBK. Because back in college, you used to make compilation tapes and sell them on eBay called HBK Best Of.
Best Stuff.
Best Stuff. There you used to sell them on eBay.
I don't know if I actually ever sold any.
Really?
Because I would get them and I would compile them. I'd try. I don't think I ever did.
It's probably fun to make, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's like arts and crafts.
I got really familiar with Shawn Michaels' career.
Yeah. Shawn Michaels, of course, has been in some of the... You're a big storytelling guy.
Yes.
And I'm hard-pressed to find many better storytellers in the ring than Shawn Michaels. And so that's why I think he'd be a perfect fit for you. He's shorter. You're shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, hey, you know what? Maybe that should be a goal of yours. You're getting older. He's older. Your goal should be old Shawn Michaels' body. HBKFC body.
Say the same thing.
Exactly.
First, yeah. It's going to be I have to get Nick Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost there, I feel like. Then Matt
well,
Jackson.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
And then I can go to HBK.
You're almost at Nick Jackson from that one picture you showed me, but yeah. I think that picture is not what he looks like today.
Okay, well, look him up at the last New Japan show.
All right, I'll do that.
Nick Jackson, then Matt Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can get to HBK.
Talk about, yeah, HBK, you know, legacy holders right there.
Yes.
Because they feel like they...
Anyways. For you, Steve, I think you should train with Ric Flair.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because Ric Flair was known, I think, for two things. His work ethic.
Yeah.
You like to work.
Yeah, I do. I love to work.
And two, his selling ability. He puts people over.
Oh, yeah, big time.
So I think you could sell, put people over.
He was also, like, in character at least, maybe even out of character, like a lecherous womanizer. That'd be fun to play.
Okay.
Wouldn't want to be that because I'm a family man.
That's not necessarily saying you train under Ric Flair and therefore become the latest iteration of the Nature Boy.
If I was still single, man, Oh, man, that'd be so much fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Limousine riding.
Yeah, I like having crews around me too, man.
That's true.
Four horsemen.
That's true.
You, Cannon Grant, Ulysses, it's my four horsemen.
Okay.
And then Lacey is my J.J. Dillon.
All right, that's good. So now promo class. Choice between Stone Cold and The Rock.
Oh, I'd go with Stone Cold. But there's no bad answer here. No. There's no, but you
know
these
why,
are both.
You know why I go with The Rock?
Why?
Because if he taught me all his knowledge, I could segue to a great and profitable Hollywood career.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I could segue Stone Cold stuff into a massively more popular podcast than the one that we have right now. Instead of aiming for the number 120 spot on the iTunes rankings.
You'd be looking straight for the top 10.
I'd be looking at top 10, baby. And Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Thursdays, I can curse all I want.
It's true.
And I could still promote things like On It.
Yes.
Alpha Brain.
Alpha Brain.
Exactly. You always want to say Alpha Brand, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Me too. Oh, man. You can't go wrong here.
No.
You know, if you... Dude, seriously, this bugs the crap out of me. You don't watch my GFW reviews. So, you know Eli Drake, right? Okay.
Yeah, I heard. He's champion now.
Yeah.
Oh, hasn't aired yet?
No, it hasn't aired.
Okay, sorry.
It's going to air tonight.
Okay,
cool. I think it's going to air tonight, so you're good. Yeah, I know. People spoil that for me. I was kind of bummed out. Evidently, he's like friends with The Rock.
Oh.
He was on that Rock TV show that I had like on TNT or something. Hero something or other. I don't know what it was. Anyways, when he talks, he sounds disturbingly like The Rock.
Oh, really?
When he starts dropping promos, I'll show you after the show, he sounds almost exactly like The Rock.
Interesting.
And I didn't really notice it because he's very articulate and he just sounds cool. I didn't really notice it until somebody mentioned it on like Twitter or something. And now I can't get out of my head and it bugs the crap out of me because I really like Eli Drake. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that because somebody pointed out, I was like, oh, I can't get away from that now. He sounds exactly like he's doing a Rock impersonation from like 1998.
That's kind of a bummer.
It is kind of a bummer. So in terms of who Eli Drake would have chose, it's obvious that he went with The Rock.
Obviously.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Well, that's what Stone Cold told Kevin Owens when he was like 19. Keep talking. And he met him. Yeah. Just keep rambling your mouth, son. What? You dumb son of a bitch.
All right, we have our last topic here.
Lee. From Lee Fox. Let's see what Lee has to say.
Hey there, friendos. It's your friend Lee Fox, back with another video question. And my video question revolves around Sasha Banks and her attitude towards her fans over the weekend. Now, we've heard in the past that Sasha is not exactly most forthcoming when it comes to her fans, even going so far as to allegedly be rude to a little girl who's asking for her autograph. Plus, over the weekend, I read on Facebook and Twitter that she'd openly ignored her fan base, causing them to boo her. Also, one fan said to her husband that she was a bitch, which caused her husband to kick off. My question is, if you are in a top promotion like WWE and you are so over with the crowd, not only for your wrestling skills, but because of the way you carry yourself, should you be openly rude to fans? Should you ignore them? Or do you believe that if you are there for work and being paid, you should take time out to have photographs and autographs of your fans? I understand that there's a personal life behind the scenes of every wrestler, but this is like not the first time that Sasha's been in this situation, so I was interested to know what your opinion is. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Lee. I think we can answer kind of the first part of the question here pretty simply. Don't be rude to people.
Yeah, just in general.
Yeah, there's no excuse to be rude. That's kind of my attitude.
However, the flip side of that is, before we get into the meat of this, understand that people need their space.
Yeah, I'm saying don't be rude, and that goes for both sides of the equation.
Right, exactly.
Fan and wrestler.
If Sasha Banks is at Ralph's and she's trying to figure out which avocado would be perfect for tonight's guacamole.
Just don't walk up to her and ask for a picture. Hard.
Yeah, don't come up. Yeah. Case in point, we were driving through Bakersfield once. Me and Big... You weren't there, I don't think. This is me and Big Jim. And it was back during the Attitude Era, early Attitude Era. And the Hardys and Edge and Christian were driving together. And we stopped off at McDonald's. And Jeff Hardy happened to be waiting in line to get, I would imagine, a number two cheeseburger meal. And we were ahead of him. We got our order. We're leaving. Jeff says, man, that dude looks familiar. Because we didn't really know.
Yeah.
That guy looks familiar. Is that Christian over there? I was like, I don't know. And Big Jim just goes over there and starts to say, hey, aren't you? And then I swoop in and say, you're Jeff Hardy. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. He looked really tired, too.
I imagine. That's the thing. The schedules these wrestlers work,
they're really tough.
Yeah.
You know, especially like living in L.A., when I did live in L.A.,
yeah,
it's always a delight to be like, oh, look, I remember that guy from 21 Jump Street. And then you just go about your business. They don't need for you to say anything to them. Now, for us, like, we get recognized once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you a fun story. The other day at Target, I
get recognized at Target a lot.
I'm at Target a lot.
It's true.
The other day, I was at Target, and, you know, they had, like, three lanes open, and they're all... I was figuring out, like, none of them were overwhelmingly crowded, but I was doing the algorithm in my head. Okay, what's going to work best here? What's going to work here? And then my buddy that works there, because, you know, he's a friendo of the show,
yeah, yeah,
said, hey, Steve. He opened up his lane just for me.
I got
through.
The perks.
Got the two sweet.
Nice.
Went on my way. It's kind of cool. But that's for us. And it's fun. It's kind of neat just because it's like, okay, this is kind of validation that what we're doing is getting out there. That's kind of more what it is. When I'm with like my stepkids, it's always fun getting recognized because it's just, you know, hey, guess what? People know who I am. But I couldn't imagine what it's like to, nor would I really want to be a WWE star. And every time I leave my house and go somewhere, you get hounded. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes tenfold for like a Jennifer Lawrence or, you know,
or a Brad Pitt or something like that.
Exactly.
I imagine I can't even leave the house.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
I know.
I just want to be a person, man.
I know.
Totally.
And that's the thing to remember is that we're all people.
Mm-hmm. This isn't really a debate that we're having right now.
No, we pretty much are in complete agreement on this one.
Yeah. I will say this, though. So the original debate we were going to have here was you were going to say, don't be rude. But they have no
There shouldn't be any expectation just because you go up to someone, regardless of the scenario, that you're going to get an autograph or picture.
Mm-hmm.
Like if whatever WWE superstar is doing a promotional thing,
mm-hmm,
then when they're on the clock,
mm-hmm,
then yeah, like if Sasha's at Wizard World signing autographs, obviously you'll get an autograph or picture.
Well, yeah, we
you can expect pleasantries.
We interviewed Sasha at the 2K thing,
and
a couple times.
Totally charming.
She
totally
was amazing.
Personal.
She was fantastic.
But she was on the clock.
Exactly. Yeah.
If we had run into her at the luggage carousel, mm-hmm, at the airport at 10:30 in the evening after she traveled for 8 hours,
yeah,
I would understand why she might not want to talk to a bunch of people.
And I would not presume to go up to her and say, "Hey, I'm not 19 going through Bakersfield anymore." On the flip side of that, my flip side to that was going to be, if you're coming in from a long flight, like you're talking about, and you land, and let's say, like, for whatever reason, like, the fans knew that you're going to be landing there, mm-hmm, okay? And you get off, and you got, like, a bunch of fans trying to get your autograph, whatever. It probably benefits you.
Oh, yeah.
As a performer who relies on their fan base, you know, Jericho got into that altercation, and I did not watch it, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was all in the fan, because Jericho, I think, is really good with, like, his fans and stuff.
Yeah.
But Jericho was going through some stuff, and then on top of that, he's got some fan, you know, bitching at him because Jericho had to cut out. He's got places to be. He can't stay in there all day. It's not a signing.
Yeah.
But barring that, probably benefits you in your career.
Definitely.
To, like, hang around and do what you can.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the individual.
Yeah, and you have to understand. Yeah, you probably got to. As a fan, you got to understand that these people have their own personal limits. Hey, I got to be somewhere. I can't be here all day long.
Hey, I've been up for 26 hours straight.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You know, I'll never forget that PWG show we went to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All those people just out there in line. They're all marks. You know, we're all, including myself, you know, huge marks for the PWG thing. Young Bucks come rolling up, just walking up. Nobody says word one to them.
Nope. They understand that we, as fans, we're in their space.
Yeah, exactly.
And there is a time to talk to them when they're selling their merchandise.
Yeah.
You can go say hi, take a picture, buy a shirt. But when you're not in that spot, leave them alone.
You don't need to be going up to them. They're just showing up. They've got stuff to do. They got business to take care of.
Yeah.
Leave them be. So yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, according to one of the stories, like, Sasha's husband, and Sasha seems to be a very private individual, as is her right to be.
Yep.
If you want to keep if you want to keep a straight head on your shoulders, you need to have your privacy.
Yep.
I get it. Somebody goes up to her husband and says, your wife is a B word. He used the actual word. I'm not going to say it because it's rude. And he apparently got physical with him, the Sasha's husband. Good for him. Somebody rolled up to me and said, hey, Lacey's a B. I'd be like, yeah, well, here's a fist.
Again, just don't be rude.
Yeah, don't be rude.
Just don't be rude.
Exactly.
It might take a couple extra seconds to be polite. Just be polite.
Yeah.
Just be courteous.
Or I'd say, your mom is a B.
To who?
The dude coming up to me saying, Lacey's a B.
No, don't be rude, Steve.
Or I'd say, how'd you know that? You don't know her. Only I can say that. Whoa, I'm joking.
Whoa.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyways, that's it.
That's it for the first episode of...
Well, second.
Match.
We did one last week. We debated SummerSlam.
What?
Second episode.
What? Hold on a second. I'm going
to... Last week, we debated SummerSlam matches.
We did? What episode was that? That was Dirt Sheet? Come on. I'm going to see if I can... The Dan episode?
No, the SummerSlam predictions.
Oh, predictions. That's different. That's predictions.
But we debated things.
Yeah.
It's the same. This is the second episode. New format.
Who wins at SummerSlam 2017?
Yes.
That was different. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.